Hello and welcome to the Grove Church Podcast. I'm Charlie Lofton, the lead pastor there, and we are so glad that you're joining us. Whether you are a member and you're just catching up on a sermon that you missed, or you're someone who's brand new, we are really glad that you are joining us. And if you are new in some way, and I know that a lot of people will do that, will listen to sermons first before they visit, I want you to know that we would love to meet you at any point. You can join us live in our services on Sunday 9 and 10:30 or our streaming service at 10:30. Either way, we would love to be able to get to know you. And regardless of why you are here listening to this sermon today, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Hey, if you are new, I'm Charlie, the lead pastor here, and really glad all of you are worshiping with us. If you're joining us online in the room, we're glad you're here, especially if you are new. And as Jason mentioned, we are starting a new series today. It's going to lead us all the way to Easter. We're kind of asking and trying to answer some big picture questions. And what I was like growing up, I mean, I kind of grew up in a very small conservative church, conservative family, conservative town, kind of closed off from other ideas. But even still, I was a very questioning kind of guy. I learned pretty early on that church wasn't the place to ask questions. Church is where they get mad at you for asking questions about. They didn't keep me from asking them. I just kind of kept them internal, where it's like, man, we kind of keep saying things, and anything that just feels shallow or poorly thought out or doesn't make sense, or I can't make a cohesive worldview out of it, I'm always asking all these questions. So then I'm getting ready to go to college, and I'm a nerd's the best word. I mean, I'm just kind of a nerd guy, but I've also got to come from this really conservative, Christian kind of tradition. Now, I'm going off to this college that has a reputation for being way more liberal than what I am and what I was raised to believe. And so I kind of went there in part expecting a fight, but also in part hoping that this was maybe a better place to kind of ask and answer some questions. So I find myself interacting with people that have worldviews that I had never really interacted with before. And one of the things that kind of kept coming up was this idea that really had never really been brought to me before, was whether or not there's truth is absolute or truth is relative, right? Are there things that are true about God, about life, that are just universally true, or is what's true, this is what's true for me and this is what's true for you, is truth relative to the person? And I remember this statement being made as I'm hearing all of this and I'm asking questions about it. And finally, one of the professors said just very clearly, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, I don't know what kind of nerd you are, but I'm the kind of nerd that comes back to that and says something along the lines of, you sure about that? Like, are you absolutely sure about that? Because there is something very self-contradictory about it. If there is no such thing as absolute truth, then you can't say it. It's a little bit like saying today is opposite day. Well, I just want to see if we'll catch up with it. You can't say today is opposite, because if it is opposite day, you can't. Anyways, today, it's never opposite day. Anyways, if there is absolute truth, then, okay, that's one thing. But if there's not, then you can't definitively say that there's not. And then as I'm interacting with this and being a little too much, it's a little bit like church actually, a little too much question asking, then all of a sudden I got labeled. And church did this pretty well. You label people who ask too many of the wrong kinds of questions. I was asking too many of the wrong kind of questions. And this is a label I'd never heard before. You're closed-minded. I didn't really know what that meant at first, because coming from a church full of closed-minded people that are incredibly closed-minded to anything outside of this, there's no one there to tell you you're closed-minded. So that was just kind of this thing. Like, you're closed-minded, you're too judgmental of other people's beliefs. You need to be open more to what other people believe. And I'm interacting kind of what this means. Like, Charlie, you're just intolerant. That was a word that got used a lot. And intolerant, you won't accept other people's views. Now, again, I don't know what kind of nerd you are, but if you can get somebody yelling at you, saying, you're intolerant of what other people believe, like, And I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And this was, and again, this is the kind of person I was. This was at a public lecture during the Q&A time. So I'm asking, like, it would seem to me right now that you are being intolerant. I feel like I'm just asking questions. It feels to me like you're being intolerant. And he slammed his fist on the podium. You're right. I am intolerant of intolerance. And I'm telling you, the place erupted with applause. And I was kind of looking around being like, I think I just won that, but y'all are clapping for him. I was really kind of confused. And, you know, and I look back on that, and again, these stories that I tell now are 30 years old, and I've mellowed a lot, at least in my attitude, not really in my ability that things need to make sense, and not really in my desire to really truly understand. But I look back on that, and even if you're going to say things like there is no such thing as absolute truth, or you're going to say that we should be more tolerant of other worldviews and not just try to have some narrow worldview or whatever, like, even in that, there is a yearning, be you with a more closed or more open or conservative or liberal, whatever mindset or worldview. There's something true in both of those that there really is this deep sense that I think that we all have to make sense of the world. A real desire and a hunger to know truth. And not just to know what truth is, but to know where truth comes from. How can I really know the way the world works? How can I know who I am? How can I know if there is a God and who that God is and how I can know him and what is required of me? Who am I supposed to be? These big picture questions about truth, and not just simply truth, but about what is right. I mean, that's the nature of what all of these banters and conversations and altercations that I had throughout my college years, and it's two different types of people from two different types of perspectives trying to figure out what is true and what is right. And what we're going to be spending some time over the next several weeks leading up to Easter is we're going to try to ask and answer some really big picture questions. And in part, because some of us may, you know, we're kind of wrestling with some of these things. It'll be a good kind of conversation for some of us. Maybe it's important to kind of learn kind of where the church is and how grounded are we in some of these things. And for some of us, we may theoretically believe in some of these things, but I need some help kind of putting some words to it. So we're going to spend some time doing that over the next few weeks, starting today with really kind of this idea of where do we find truth? And then Mark's going to be here next week. He's going to talk about really about who God is. Is God really knowable? Can we really connect and know the God of the universe? And then we're going to spend some time talking about what is known as the problem of evil. If God is all good and God is all powerful, why does evil and bad things seem to be happening at the level that they do? If God loves and can do something about it and chooses not to, how do I make sense of that? And then we're asked the question, is Jesus Christ the only way that someone can know and experience God? Which will lead us all the way up to Easter, which I think is the most significant question, is did Jesus really die on the cross? And if he did, what does that mean for me? And just kind of really exploring, I think, the big picture question about the most significant historical event ever. And so we're going to spend some time doing that, again, kind of starting today with this idea of truth. And honestly, I really do. I think this is the best question we can ask. And it really is the foundational question for any and all of the other questions. Like, where can truth really be found? So we're going to start with a passage in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, the very beginning, kind of the author kind of starts with this idea. He starts with this question and kind of immediately kind of starts in with the answer in Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So, I mean, you know, it's really a great phrase to start with, and it kind of has at least hints of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You know, in the past, God. In the past, God, what did God do? In the past, God has revealed himself to prophets in a lot of different ways. And if you read the Old Testament stories, you'll see that. There were particular messages that God wanted to get out, and he would communicate these messages a lot of different ways, through dreams and visions, through angels, through all just direct revelation. Hey, I'm going to tell you this, and then you just go and repeat it over there. And in the past, God has used a lot of different ways to communicate his truth to his people. But in these days, these last days, we had what God was doing in these old times. Now we live in this new time. And in this time, God has chosen to show himself and reveal himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And the way he's described here, the heir of all things, the one that made the universe, the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. This idea of radiance is a cool thing. It's just like there's this thing that is so bright you can't see it, but you can kind of see the radiance of it, the kind of and that is what Jesus is. God is not physical and he's bright and you can't really see him, but you can see Jesus, who is an exact representation of who he is, which is not the same as a copy. It's not the same as a fake. It is. You want to see God, you see Jesus. And Jesus said this. You guys are talking about, can I go see the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. He uses and says this all the time. It's one of the things that got him in so much trouble with the Jewish leaders and the religious leaders at the time, with these things that he was saying, connecting himself so closely to God the Father. And so if I were going to answer this question at its simplest, where do we find capital T truth? I would say this, that God is the source of truth, and Jesus reveals God to us. The source of truth, real truth, is found in God. He is the source of all of it. There are lots of different ways that we can learn things. And there may be some scientists here in the room. It's like, man, honestly, science, man, I think that science is, like, okay. Who created science? And maybe we're trying to think of some scientist. But like, think about this. I'll say it this way. So when those guys discovered DNA, it was kind of a big deal. Kind of like, whoa, that was such a big deal. And it's like this epic moment in science. What do you think God was thinking? Like, wow, oh, really? That how that worked? I should write that down because somebody might ask me later. Write that down. I'm going to write that down. DNA. Right? No, I mean, all truth is God's truth. He is the designer, the architect of the universe. I was talking about this with somebody when I said that God is a source of truth. And to me, a preacher says that to you, God's a source of truth. You kind of nod along, I think. I didn't even think there was, like, but finally I had somebody asked me very recently, why would you say that? I'm like, maybe. And so that's what it comes out. It's like, listen, he's the architect. He's the creator. He is the one that was there when it happened. He's the one that did it. He's the one that made it. The rules that exist in this universe were created by the one who created the universe. And so he ultimately is the source. And what we need to do, and this is what we're going to talk about next week, and we were going to reverse this, but Mark is out of the country right now, so Mark's going to come back the next week. Like, if God is the source of truth, we better hope that God is good and wants to communicate with us, which I believe is absolutely true in what we have experienced. And as the architect and creator, he's the ultimate source of truth. And I was thinking about, anytime this comes up, I always think of this. I don't know if you have ever followed or seen any of the interactions on social media, like Twitter or whatever, where people are interacting with the board, with the card game Uno. You can find a lot of really fun things with people interacting with Uno. Because what Uno will do from time to time is remind people of what some of the rules are to the game of Uno. And there's few things funnier to me on social media than watching people argue with Uno about the rules to Uno. about when you can place and in what situation you can do draw twos, and does draw two skip the person, or can you play another draw two on top of it, and now you don't have to do, and now the next person has to draw four, and all these interactions, again, arguing with Uno, the creator of the game. And one of my favorite phrases that you'll see in one of these, you'll see this from time to time, which is, thanks for the cards, we'll take it from here. Which honestly I think is where some of us end up in our exploration for truth and understanding and reality and pursuit of life. We look at the architect and creator and say, hey, thanks for existence. Thanks for the universe. Thanks for my life. We've got it from here. When really the big picture answer to these questions are found in God, and then Jesus is how we know who God is. This is the way Jesus described himself. This is what this passage is saying, is that this is kind of why we're here. As Christians, this is kind of our deepest core beliefs, that our path to really understanding life and truth and who God is found in Jesus, who then reveals who God is to all of us. Which then, I think, really leads to the next question. Well, if Jesus is the source of this, how do I get to understand and know who Jesus is? And in John chapter 5, Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees, and they have a great love for the scripture. And he's interacting with them about it. And he says, I mean, you guys are all up in there. You guys know all these things in the Bible. And you go there looking that this is going to be a place where you're going to find life. But when you go there, what you're going to find is me. Again, they didn't like it. These religious leaders did not like Jesus saying, that's too much. You don't find there, you find life, you find God. He's like, no, you're going to find me there. You're going to find me there. And so Jesus is like, if you want to know who I am, look at the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell you, and they will point you to me. And then Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, says something very similar, starting in verse 14. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now what's going to come next in 2 Timothy 3:16 is a verse probably a lot of you are familiar with, and probably many of you have heard me speak about before. But I wanted to kind of spend a little bit of time just making sure we soak in kind of the verses that lead up to this. He's talking to Timothy, this young guy, he's becoming a pastor. He's trying to get him to recommit himself to his walk with God and his commitment to kind of being a leader in his church and to standing alongside Paul in a difficult time. And he's pointing him back to the scriptures. And you know them, you know the scriptures, and you know what they are able to do. They are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When you know and you understand, it's going to point you to life. It's going to point you to Jesus. 4, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. These scriptures, they're going to point you to Jesus, and Jesus reveals God, and that's where truth is. And ultimately, you can trust this, because all scripture, this word, it's a made-up word that Paul made up. It's God-breathed. It is God's source. It comes from God. It has the very breath and life of God in it. It comes from him, and the life and the power of God can be found there, in part because it points to Jesus. And ultimately, because of that, because it points to Jesus, because it is sourced in God, it is profitable in all of these ways, so that you can be equipped for anything. As I'm trying to understand, who am I? Who am I supposed to be? And how can I become that person? All of that is found in Jesus, and all of the what we need to understand that is found in the scriptures. And so I'll say it this way, again, God is a source of truth, And Jesus reveals God to us. And here's what we believe here at the church. What the Bible teaches is true. Now, there's lots of different ways that I could have expressed that. There are some more precise kind of theological terms that people use. They talk about inspiration of the Scripture. They talk about the authority of the Scripture. They use the word inerrancy to describe the Scripture. And it's not that I am shy of any of those words. It's just I've come to realize that there are, that we have some associations with some of those words, and they're kind of deep, overwhelming kind of theological terms that have a lot of, takes a lot of understanding to kind of explore some of those things. So I want to say it, at least in this context, to keep it simple. What the Bible teaches, it's true. You should trust it. You can believe it. This is capital T truth that comes from God. As I was getting ready for this week, I realized, man, there was a time when I was on staff with this Christian ministry that I would do an all-day seminar for our new staff on this. It would be about 6 hours. So 6 hour lecture. You met 6 hours of lecture of me talking about kind of the Bible and how it works. And I was also thinking that over the last few weeks, we have now recorded 7 podcasts, about 30 minutes each, talking about this. Mark and I talked about it. Abigail was asking me some questions about it, and then just very recently recorded 3 more episodes with Melanie Alexander talking about it. Probably going to do another Q&A at the end with all of this. I mean, just there's a lot to understand here. But I want you to understand that what we believe, and it probably isn't surprising to you, but this is what we believe as a church. We believe the Bible is true. And if you've been here more than a couple of times, you realize that we're not ever teaching that in any other book. And there's never come a point where we're reading something in the Scriptures and we're kind of like, well, we don't really know about that one. We'll skip that one. And we'll go to this is just kind of who we are and what we believe. And I want you to understand that wherever you are in your journey, maybe you're brand new to faith, or maybe you're still exploring faith, you're kind of walking along. If you're like, I'm not quite ready to say that that's what you believe. That's totally cool. I mean, this is a place where we want you to learn. We want you to grow. We want you to wrestle. I grew up in a church where it wasn't okay to ask questions. I want you to grow up in a church where it is. Where you are, if you have serious questions, that this is a place where we can talk about it. But I want you to know this is kind of the perspective that we come from. That ultimately this is a place that if we can get our hearts and minds around it, there's truth. We find God's truth here. And when Jesus is talking about Scripture, he's clearly talking about the Old Testament. Then Paul says this in 2 Timothy 3. So is he only talking about what's called the Old Testament? If you read Paul enough, you'll recognize that he believed this is what he was doing, the same thing. In fact, all the apostles who were writing down the Gospels, I mean, they got to experience Jesus. If Jesus reflects God, they got to talk to him. They got to meet him. And you could tell it was very important to them. What about all the people for generations to come who won't have this opportunity? We should write down what we talk about. I mean, John, the Gospel of John is very clear on this. I'm writing all of these things down so that the people who aren't here can know them and they can have life too. Paul says the same thing, like this authority I was given, I didn't just make this up. This was given to me by revelation. I'm giving it to you. And Peter in 2 Peter says the same thing about Paul's writings. Hey, we recognize these things as Scripture, that these are things where people are being given revelation about who Jesus is, either through firsthand experience or by direct revelation, and being telling us so that 2,000 years later on the other side of the world, we have access to know who Jesus Christ is. And so we believe in the Scripture and the Bible that we have, that this is our primary source for that capital T truth about life, existence, God, us, who we're becoming, where hope lies in this world and the next. We find these things in the Word because they tell us who Jesus is, who reflects the architect and God of the universe. But here's the thing. I've been talking about this with a few people. It's kind of a question that has been circulating in certain pockets of the church over the last few months, and had a lot of conversations about it. And one of the things I've discovered is if I will say something like, hey, you know what? I mean, church, we believe in the authority of the Bible, or we believe this. I've noticed that it's kind of, that people can have kind of a negative reaction to it. And in fact, in the podcast, and I really encourage you to go listen to some of these if you're interested more in about what we believe and kind of exploring how the Bible works. I was talking to Melanie Alexander about it this week in the podcast that we just finished recording, this idea that some people just have this negative reaction to it. And I think a lot of it comes from the way that the Bible has been used in the past. Because there have been people who talk like me and say, you should trust the Bible. The Bible has authority. The Bible teaches truth. You have heard people that are bad actors say the same things, and it can kind of make us nervous. And so the thing that I want to say, because I do believe that what the Bible teaches is true, and because of that, we need to be careful out there. You got to be really, really careful. Because there have been some people in history that have used the Bible to justify some pretty significant atrocities. And there are people currently today who will use the Bible and say, the Bible says this. And then what comes out of their mouth is like reprehensible. And is in fact not what the Bible says. It is just what they think the Bible says. And so then the debate then becomes not really about what the debate then should be about. Why are you saying that? And we got to get you off the stage. It comes to, well, he said the Bible says that. Now, there's a problem with the Bible. And, you know, the idea of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. People have misused the Bible to teach wrong things. Therefore, we can't trust the Bible. No, you just can't. There's just some people you can't trust. And I don't think that's new information. I mean, if you're going to ever write down notes, like really new, insightful things I'm going to say, like, ooh, that's new. Hey, there's some people you can't trust. What? And just because you got a microphone on your ear and you're up here in front of people, like that. And so the scripture actually says this. James actually says this. And I think about this a lot. He says, be careful being a teacher, because teachers, they have a stricter judgment coming to them. Because if what I say, I genuinely believe this, and so I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says, and I believe that it is our primary information and source of how we can know who Jesus is, which is how we know truth. Man, when I tell you the Bible says this, what I'm saying is, This is something that is true about God. And I think about that. It makes my tummy hurt a little bit. That's quite a big statement. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful in the way that we study it. We need to be careful in the way that we learn and interact with it. We need to be careful with the people that we trust to be authorities about helping us understand what it says. Because it is of great significance. If this is our primary source of really understanding who we are, who God is, what the universe is, we need to take great care with it. And I joke about this all the time. Man, we just take these verses out of context and we just put them on pillows and we put them on cross stitches and we put them on inspirational posters. And I'm like, we don't even know what that means. And then sometimes one of these, like, you telling somebody, like, I don't know that I can do this. Well, Jesus, Bible says you can do all things through Jesus. Like, yeah, I mean, it says those words, but I don't know that it applies to me training for a marathon, but thanks, I guess. Or you'll hear somebody say, hey, you know what the Bible says? You're going through a hard time. Bible says God's not going to give you more than you can handle, which it doesn't say that. And the verse that you think does say that doesn't say anything actually close to that. And those are just really more innocent ways that the Bible can be misused. But we need to be really careful in how we deal with this. Because we need to understand, I mean, this was, some of these stories and things were told to people at a very different time. We need to understand the time that they lived in and how that compares to ours, and and who that audience is and what I have in common with them. And is this a poem? Is this a story? Is this just teaching? And learning how to do that requires a great amount of care, and I think it is incredibly important for us to be people who are faithful and really doing the hard work that is necessary to truly understand what this means. Because otherwise, then we're going to find ourselves in all sorts of places. But I think the other thing that I want to make sure that we want to be really careful about is we don't want to be somebody who, when we come across something in God's Word, and like, I don't know that I like that. That we begin to feel like we have the freedom to say, well, I don't like it, then therefore I can just throw it away. There's a time where this kind of, what I call it, free American syndrome kind of creeps in. I'm a free American and I can believe what I want. Well, technically that's true. You can believe whatever you want. But that doesn't mean that truth is relative and that what you believe is capital T true. And we want to be the kind of place when we come across things in God's Word that are difficult, that are challenging, that are expanding our worldview or ultimately would need to change our worldview, that I'm willing to wrestle with it for real. Not discard it. Discarding, it's not wrestling with it. This is the way that I think the world works, but God seems to be saying this different thing. Am I misunderstanding this? Am I misunderstanding this? And that I want to be on this journey with each other, with God, to really figure out how can I really make sense of this world. Because we want to be a safe place, but we want to be a safe place to really wrestle with what God's Word says. Because the reality is we've got a culture, a world out there that is pulling us in a different direction. And God's perspective on life is very different than what the culture tells us. And honestly, we live in a world now where I would say that at least in our country at this time, there are two very distinct cultures pulling us in two different directions. Am I supposed to be this kind of person or this kind of person? And there's this pull. And we're trying to wrestle with which one of these two pulls is the right way, when really on a completely different dimension, there's a completely different direction where God is trying to pull us. There's someone very different that God is wanting us to become than either of these two things. And none of us really are immune to these unhealthy directions that our culture and world may be pulling us to. And we lose sight and we lose grounding in God's truth about the universe, about Him, about us, about life. And so our deepest hope as we kind of launch this series is that we really do, we want this to be a safe place for you to learn and be grounded in the truth about who God is, about who you are, about where life is and where life will be. And we believe that that is found in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us through His Word. So let us be people who listen, who read, who study together so that we can be grounded and become the people that God has called us to be. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. That He came to show us who you are. And to tell us who we are and who we can be, who we should be, where hope is, where life is. And God, I thank you that you left us with your Word to explain to us the things that we weren't able to hear or experience firsthand. To hear from you. And so God, I pray that we would not be scared because the Bible feels overwhelming. And God, now I pray that we would not be off-put by the people who have misused Scripture, or maybe even hurt us personally with it. But God, that we'd be curious learners and seekers of truth through your Word so that we can find you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on our sermon podcast, and you can learn more about us at thegrovechurch.org. And if you go to thegrovechurch.org/connect, there's a form you could fill out. Just let us know that you've been listening. And if you want to dig deeper on some of these topics that we cover in our sermon podcast or just in other issues of dealing with culture or theology, those kinds of things, you can check out our Cultivate podcast, which is on the same feed, however you found this particular podcast. So again, this is Charlie, the lead pastor at The Grove, and thank you so much for joining us.